Well, good morning. Welcome to Submerged Church. I am Pastor Bob Bartlett, in case you've forgotten. It's only been a month since we've been vacationing. It's good to be home. And I will say it's good to be home in the house of God, our church family. And my wife and I have visited a few churches when we've been on vacation down in Florida. It's nice, you know, and it was, as a pastor, you know, when you sit in the audience, you're always critiquing the pastors. That's all I can do. I try to worship, but I just want the guy to get to his message and critique it. It was nice, but this is home, and it's just good to be home this morning with all of you and see all of your smiling faces. And this morning, as you can see, the title of my message is Thankful, Mindful, Watchful, and Dutiful. And as we read the scripture this morning, we see that God intends that you and I are to be overflowing with thankfulness. And I am hopeful. This message came about actually on November 4th. I can tell you the exact day and where I was when God began to speak to me. And I was impressed and moved. And, you know, God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And some real revelations came about. And I'm hopeful this morning that this is going to forever change every one of us. And I say that with all due respect and with an honesty that I was transformed in this time with God in prayer as I was meditating on this verse. And I hope today that we see and we understand that God intends you and I to practice thankfulness, or the confession of giving thanks, overflowing with thankfulness. And we're on the eve of Thanksgiving, and so it's cognitively on everybody's mind, oh yeah, Thanksgiving is coming up this Thursday, and it's good and right. But for God's people in particular, this is something God wants us practicing every single day of our life. You know, Thanksgiving has always been my favorite holiday. And it started when I was a boy and I wasn't in Christ. And I kind of understood Christmas. But let's be honest, as kids, at Christmas, what are we all focused on? Presents, right? But Thanksgiving, it always held, mainly because I was near the bottom of 10 kids, and a lot of my older siblings would come home from college, and great food and fellowship and fun. And every Thanksgiving, we had a family football game, five boys and five girls. And didn't matter what the weather was, rain, sleet, snow, we played football, and just some of the most joyous times. And as after today's message, I don't want to shadow Christmas, but maybe bump up Thanksgiving a little bit more as to how important this holiday is. And I want to just talk real briefly the history of Thanksgiving. Most people think, well, it started in America, of course, and actually it didn't. It started with God and God's people about 4,000 years ago in the book of Leviticus. It was one of the five major feasts that God instituted for his people to practice. It was known as the Feast of First Fruits, and it was actually the celebration of the harvest, not only when the harvest was completed, but when the harvest began and planting seed, and they would give thanks to God for the harvest that they knew they were going to receive at the end. So it was both the start of the harvest and the end of the harvest. In verse 16 of chapter 23, God says, celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. And what it was what the Feast of First Fruits is just a statement or a confession of gratitude to God, not only for the food we eat, the harvest, but everything that God bestows upon us in our lives. And so I move to the spirit of thanksgiving, and that is simply God is deserving. Psalm 118, David says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be full of joy and be glad in it." And the call of thanksgiving in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And just reading that, taking that statement, that word from God at face value, give thanks in all circumstances. But Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I am going through something really terrible. God understands and God knows that. But give thanks in all circumstances. That's the call of God. And he's worthy of it. And so just a brief history. Actually, Thanksgiving, the first practiced Thanksgiving in America was in 1619. Most people aren't aware of this. It was by the Puritans in the state of Virginia in 1619. The one that we're most familiar with was first practiced in 1621 by the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts. And in the spirit of Leviticus, they were thankful for the harvest, but also for they had just survived the harshest winter on record in the state of Massachusetts. The spirit of thanksgiving. And suffice to say, America has a rich history of practicing thanksgiving, of honoring thanksgiving. And we need to understand that the roots of thanksgiving, when we gather around the tables this Thursday with family and friends, and however we practice and celebrate, we need to understand the roots of thanksgiving originate with Almighty God. With Almighty God and being thankful. And I was meditating on these verses in Colossians one morning. I was walking and praying on the beach. It was real early. And that's my daily routine. I start the day with Psalm 118, and I just begin to give thanks. God, I thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the blood of Christ that has cleansed me from my sins. Thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit to teach me and lead me and guide me. Thank you that I have the promise of eternal life. Thank you that no matter what the day holds, I know that you hold the day. And I start, and I've been doing this for a number of years. I start every day with that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so I've been practicing it, and I thought, wow, I've been doing this for a while. What's the big deal? And then God just began to speak to me about these verses as I was meditating on them, and took me down a path, and the path is the message I want to share with you this morning. And the first thing that God spoke to me about this, you know, there's a lot of marks of a disciple of Jesus Christ. We can say, oh, he memorizes Scripture. Oh, they really read their Bible. They serve well. And those are all good identifying marks of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. But what God shared with me this morning is perhaps the greatest or the truest mark of a disciple is he or she that overflows with thanksgiving. Overflows with thanksgiving. You know, in a few years ago, in a November issue of Psychology Today, a lot of psychologists now are treating, these are clinically depressed people. In other words, they're on medications. And there's 7 practices, and they have been finding tremendous results with healing people from depression, clinical depression. And believe it or not, I read the article, and all 7 of these practices have to do or are embedded with giving thanks. Isn't that interesting? Now, we all know Psychology Today is a secular magazine. But I love it when the world catches up to the truth of God's Word. And I'm just going to name 3 this morning. The first one to help us, if you will, the remedy that was prescribed for these clinically depressed people was they had to say thank you 12 times a day. cognitively, just once every hour, they had to say thank you to someone for something. Could be somebody serving you coffee on a cold morning. By the way, my fingers are absolutely frozen this morning. The second was, at the end of every day, that person had to write out three things for that specific day that they were thankful for. And the third of the seven was, once a week, they had to write a note of thanks to somebody for some act of kindness or service. Could even be your furnace repairman. Living here in North Dakota, that's a pretty important thing and pretty significant thing to be thankful for. I met with my grandson this week, and we try to disciple every Wednesday, and I wasn't planning on, but I went through this with him, and his assignment was, he's going to give thanks once every hour for 12 hours in the day. I haven't had a chance to follow up with him yet. But more and more research, Harvard School of Health, USA Today, are all confirming, obviously, what God already knew, that giving thanks and learning to be thankful is good for our mental health. It's good for our state of mind. And so it's suffice to say, that when God says, give thanks in all circumstances, He meant it. And He meant it for you and I, that we might have good mental health, but it's more than that. Obviously, it's much more than that. You know, I in 2014, I read a survey, 500 colleges and universities, their mental health facilities, and what they treat students for, medically treat students for on college campuses today. And 5 years ago, and no, 7 years ago, 2012, the number one treatment for college students on campus, as surveyed by 500 colleges, universities, and their mental health facilities, was depression. Today, depression has been bumped to number two, and anxiety. Anxiety is the new number one treatment of college students on college campuses today. And that goes all the way back to Genesis 3. You see, the world is learning what God told us in Genesis 3, that fear leads to doubt, and doubt leads to anxiety, and anxiety leads to depression. And the curse in Genesis 3, the good news for you and I, is now the cure in Jesus Christ and all that He embodies. So I want to begin with a question this morning, meant to provoke some thought in each of us. What are you sure about in this life? What are you absolutely sure about, absolutely, unequivocally certain about in this life? Without a shadow of a doubt, what are you absolutely secure in or secure about your life? You know, the reality is, there's not a whole lot of things that we can say 100%, right? We don't know what the day is going to hold. We don't even know what the day will hold. I was visiting with Isaiah, came in hobbling this morning, and did you ever think you'd be in a motorcycle accident? You know, we don't know what the day holds. I might be able to say, well, my wife's love and devotion after 42 years. But, you know, if she were to pass away tomorrow, it's gone, right? I can think back to how she loved me. But there's not a lot. But there is with God. There is with God. The truth of His Word, the faithfulness of God. And every day is a gift. And every day, God is calling you and I to overflow with thankfulness. And anyone can do it. Anybody can do it. It's really a choice. Amen? It's really a choice. We choose to be thankful. We choose to acknowledge the goodness of God in our lives. And these are the four points that God impressed upon my heart, that you and I would overflow with thankfulness. The first one, To be thankful is to be faithful. Give thanks in all circumstances. And to give thanks and the ability to give thanks always, regardless of our trials, regardless of our situations, regardless of our circumstances, takes an act of faith. Amen? Amen? But what is our faith rooted in? The goodness of God. Amen? The promises of God. And the more you and I are thankful, the more we are rooted and grounded in this faith. You know, the word faithful really just means full of faith. So the reality is, the more I am thankful, the more I am full of faith, or the more I will build up my faith just by saying thank you. Just by saying thank you. It builds our faith quotient. And every time you and I say thank you, even for the smallest of details, what we are acknowledging is the goodness of God. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purposes. And so I can face a cyclone of trials, circumstances, situations, and God says, be thankful. Why? How is that possible? Because God doesn't know any other way. There's no shadow of a doubt. God doesn't know any other way. He doesn't know how to do anything but work every situation out for good. It takes faith. But every time we say thank you, we build up our hope. Paul writes in Romans 15:13 that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, to be thankful is to be mindful. And mindful simply means to mind or to tend mentally. It's a conscious awareness to remind ourselves or do not forget. Did you know that God says over 400 times in the Bible, over 400 times, He either tells the people of God to remember or do not forget. Same thing, right? To remember or do not forget. Over 400 times, God tells His people, remember or do not forget. David says in Psalm 77, verse 11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember the deeds of the Lord, the faithfulness of God. Yes, I will remember His miracles of long ago. And every time you and I say thank you, we remind ourselves of God's promises and God's provisions in our lives. And who is the bestower of all that is good in our lives. James 1:17, I'm not sure time. I might just do a message on James 1:17, the significance and the depth of just this one verse. When James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Who does not change. Like shifting. What does a shadow signify? Changing, right? Things are changing. The sun goes across the sky and the shadows shift and change, right? Because they're changing. I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And everything good in our lives comes from God. And He doesn't know any other way. James is saying He doesn't know any other way but to work things for good, to do things good in our lives. Everything. And so my question is, what does your inventory of God's goodness look like? You know, I had this really cool conversation with my grandson our Wednesday morning time when his mom came to me, and she was carrying him. I didn't, at the time, I didn't want to know what the gender was, right? I kind of, everybody else knew but me. And so every time we got together, you know, 9 months, okay, now be careful, we're going to talk about this grandchild. I don't want to know. I want to be surprised. And so my daughter calls me up carrying my then grandson Jackson, and she, hey Dad, you know, I just came from the doctor, you have time for lunch? Yeah, this was, we were living up in Grand Forks. So we met for lunch, and she, oh, can I just show you my ultrasound, right? That ultrasound, it's been a while, Joan, is that right? This was 38 years ago. So anyway, she, oh, you know, so she slides, oh, look at this. I said, okay, let's be really careful here now. And then, oh, no, but look how precious. And then she goes, and look at his cute little legs. And I was like, oh. So I had the opportunity to tell my grandson that story. And you know, as much as I wanted to be surprised, I have to say, I was like, I was sky high. I'm going to have a grandson. I can't wait. Baseball, football, hockey, you know, all the Army, you know, everything I did as a kid. But I told him it was amazing. And I told him, I said, you know, brother, it's really good to have an inventory of all that is good in our life. All the times that God does things for good. And that's just one example. I was telling Livy, my second grandchild, rode with me up to the hockey game last night. And I was, we were talking about the old farm we had up. And I don't want to go into a lot of details, but, oh, I really miss that. She said, you know what I miss the most, Granddad? And I thought, okay, it's going to be like, you know, us riding around on the golf cart. And a lot of cool stuff. I miss Buddy and those things. Oh, yeah, I miss Buddy Cat too. And we just talked about all the fun things, all the goodness of God in your life. How often do you just sit down and just talk about, just in just the goodness of God? How often do you just talk with friends, family, the goodness of God in your life? And how important that is, and that's my fourth point, and we'll get there. Number three, to be thankful is to be watchful. Be watchful. To ensure that I honor God with my life. To do that, Solomon writes in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Be watchful. Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. In other words, everything flows from our hearts. And being thankful keeps me watchful. It guards and protects my heart from what? The lies of God or the lies of the enemy. Oh, a little short this month. I mean, you could go on, oh, your car broke. You could go on and on and on. How the lies can creep in and begin to rob us of that spirit of thankfulness and gratitude. And quite simply, what the Lord spoke to me, he might speak to you, is the more problems I have, the more I've let go of the promises of God. You see, either I serve a great big God that automatically shrinks and belittles all of my problems, or I have a whole lot of big problems and my God is so small and tiny, he can't deal with it. Now that's the end of the lies of God, or the lies of the enemy. Is he belittles our God. He belittles our God's goodness. He belittles our God's power. He belittles our unbelief, or our belief, our faith. And so to honor God with my life, I keep thankfulness preeminent in my life. What's the measure of your thankfulness? Scale of 1 to 10. You ever do that? Scale of 1 to 10. What's your measure of thankfulness? How thankful are you? Or I could ask, what's the measure of your grumbling and your complaining? If you ask the 10 closest people to you, 5, 3, what would they define as a defining mark in you? You're thankful, grateful, or your glass is always half empty, or the water's poisoned? What's the defining mark of your life? you know, 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is reiterating to the church at Corinth just some times, four times, with God's people, the nation of Israel, thousands of years, about 2,200 years before Paul wrote these words. He is telling the church at Corinth four things that really anger God, that make God mad. And there are some obvious ones. We willfully sin with our bodies, for example. We're morally bankrupt. But you know what number four was? That really angers God. 1 Corinthians 10:10, you can read it, is grumbling and complaining from God's people. Grumbling and complaining from God's people. In fact, Numbers records where God in His anger struck down 19,000 people. Because the spirit of complaining was starting to creep through the camp. And they're contagious, let me tell you. The spirit of thankfulness is contagious, or the spirit of grumbling, it's contagious. And either one. Let's choose thankfulness. Let's be watchful to be thankful. And lastly, to be thankful is to be dutiful. Being thankful preps me to see more clearly, to be more acutely aware of my duty to be thankful, of my calling and your calling in Jesus Christ. You see, it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's never been about us. It's always been about God. A loving God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God, ever-existent, eternal, everlasting, self-sufficient, self-reliant, living in the Trinity. And then what does He do? Out of all the eons of time, He decides to create men and women and have a relationship with them, a loving and good God. Solomon, at the close of Ecclesiastes, and before this I was doing a series in Ecclesiastes, I still have more to come, but in chapter 12, verse 13, Solomon says, "Now all has been heard. Every sermon that's ever been preached has been preached." No, I wouldn't say that. "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." I think a lot of Christianity today, dutiful is becoming an ugly word. You mean I have duties? Yeah, I have duties. I have responsibilities. I have duties and responsibilities when I go to work for 8 hours a day. I have duties and responsibilities to my wife as a husband. I have duties and responsibilities as a father and as a grandfather. I have duties and responsibilities all about me. Well, when it comes to God's Word, not so much. We're only kidding ourselves. I love Paul's words in Timothy. Endure hardships like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You talk about somebody that knows the idea of duty and responsibility. To be thankful is to be dutiful. And if you're not thanking God, you're not trying. If you're not thanking God, you're not trying. And being thankful preps me, or being dutiful preps me, to see more clearly. That's why I can start every day. I can start every day thanking God for my salvation. Thanking God that my sins have been forgiven. Thanking God that I am justified, I am sanctified, and I am glorified in Christ. Thanking God that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The God of the universe lives within me, and He lives within you. We're sealed to guide us, to teach us, to correct us, to remind us everything that God would do. You can't have a closer friend than the Spirit of the living God living within you and I, can we? Can we? And when we understand that, when we understand how thankful is a gateway to being dutiful to thank God. Guess what happens? We get excited. We get excited about our faith. Are you excited about your faith and your relationship with God? Are you excited about that? I told her to say that this morning. No, I didn't. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then the Gentile. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you and I are thankful, we become dutiful to all that God is doing and has done and will do in our life. And when it's all over, we enter into a glory that the mind cannot fathom and conceive. We see glimpses of it. We see glimpses of it. You know, I'm competitive by nature, and there's a part of me thinks like Chariots of Fire, you know, music and running slow motion, and there I am in my last dying breaths, and as I leave this life, there's a tape and a finish line over here. I break through it, and there's Jesus. Yeah! Yeah! Welcome to paradise! Welcome to eternity of paradise, of goodness! No more tears, no more death, no more anything bad. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a world of despair and brokenness around us. That's the result of a fallen world. There isn't a cure, there isn't a remedy in this life for any of that, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to read an excerpt from my journal entry that morning, but Time forbids, but that closing line is from my journal entry. Can we just read that together? And I know there's an I in there, but let it be the I. Let the I be for you, okay? If you have a bulletin, would you pull that out and just read that with me? I'll give you a second. Nice and loud, right? Confession brings conviction. Let's read it nice and loud at the bottom. Today. Ready? Today, I will be dutiful to be overflowing with thankfulness, knowing it unlocks the power of God to flood the soul with peace and joy and the meaning and purpose of life. Amen. Now I'd like you to just consider, just for me, and I would like you to consider choosing one of those three remedies this week. Would you do that for me, for God, from today till Thanksgiving? And is anybody not sitting around a Thanksgiving table with family or friends? Is anybody not? What I'd really like you to do is, so, you're not, Donnie? Oh, I thought you were in. Okay, you can come over to my house if you want. Monica's leaving you, right? Oh, okay. So, one of three things from today until Thursday, just 4 days, I'm going to say the words thank you once every hour for 12 hours. That's option number one. Option number two is just to write out today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, three things that you're thankful for each day. Or the last one, and this is really easy because you only have 4 days, you write one thank you note to somebody you know, you love, who served you in some way. It can be mom, can be dad, can be anybody. Will you do that for me this week? And if time permits, share that. Share that at your Thanksgiving table this week, which one you practice. And that Pastor Bob made you, so you have my permission to do that. Let's pray. God, we're a blessed people. We're blessed because you blessed us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, there's a lot of challenges and trials and hardships and heartbreaks. I mean, the list is almost endless of the things that we face in this world that can be uncertain and unpleasant. But God, you are the one constant in our lives. And not only the one constant, but the constant of all that is good in our lives. And we're thankful for it. And as we approaching Thanksgiving, Father, I pray that this message has forever changed us, that you desire us. One of the great marks of a true follower of Jesus Christ is they overflow with thanksgiving. I pray, Lord, may these truths be sealed in our hearts today, that each one of us would overflow with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.